WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, everyone. This is Angelina Love.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
This is WWE superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Welcome to the Rack Extra? The regular Rack right here at WildTalkRadio.com? I don't know. Did we ever decide that before we decided to go live?
The Rack anyway, Extra.
The Rack Extra. All right. This is a Rack Extra. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, Gerwick.net, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at fightbooth.com. And, well, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Hey, we're live. Impromptu live show, because why the hell not? It's NXT TakeOver Night, and we're here to talk about it. Come join us at wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com. You can tweet us at wildtalkradio, at rackradioshow, at Linz Ward, to tell us what you thought of this show.
Yes, but there's one other person you can tweet. Because, well, we have a guest.
Yeah. Here we go.
The NXT analyst, TJ Omega.
I'm a man with a brand.
He's here.
Maybe.
Sounded so thrilled.
You're supposed to be a once in a blue moon person on the show. Now you're back again.
Look, this is the format, right? There's a takeover. I'm here before the takeover, and I'm here after the takeover.
He's here to get all up in the takeover's business.
Mm-hmm. I'm like the Mongolians.
How?
I don't even know what that means. We watch a wrestling show.
So Sunday, you're in one of the top 128 comedians, which will be the...
Why?
Which we're going to be debating later tonight on CB Radio. Because you opened your mouth.
I hate when I do that.
You should really learn to stop.
So, yes.
At least he put me up against someone who isn't funny.
Who did he put you up against?
Dane Cook.
Ah!
Omega will probably win one round.
You know what? If it's against Dane Cook, I will take that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's later. Like, 2 hours from now. Right now, we're here to talk about what? NXT TakeOver War Games. War Games.
Woohoo! Is the internet officially satisfied? Do we need to get the, like, the cleaner to cleanse everybody? I mean, you know, do we need to clean anything up?
No, the last thing that they need right now is Kenny Omega.
Right? That's the last thing they want.
I don't know!
That just sent them into round two.
Like, Kenny Omega showing up would have made the internet, like, beyond happy.
Can we talk about the internet? One, you're not happy with anything. Two, oh my God, War Games doesn't have a cage. Oh my god, there's too many rules. And then, oh my god, what did we just see? Oh my god, it was the best thing ever. Make up your mind.
If they don't have something to complain about, then they don't.
You can't do it in the same. You can't do it one tweet after another saying, oh, I hate this, and then, oh my god, look at that. Make up your mind, people.
But that's how the internet works.
It shouldn't work that way.
But that's how it does. We know this. Everybody complains until they see it, and then it was, oh my god, that's freaking awesome.
If they were happy off the bat, they wouldn't be the internet.
See?
Well, they needed to learn to be happy from the start. Life would be so much better if the internet was happy.
Then we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Yeah, you're asking way too much here.
I know I'm asking too much, and I know the internet will never be happy. I know this. I know this logical step, but you gotta have the dream.
Well, you know, they had a dream tonight. They had several dreams tonight.
One was Velvet, and they were chanting his name, but we'll get to him in a bit. What happened first, though?
First up on the card for TakeOver War Games, we had Cassius Ohno taking on Lars Sullivan. Can they take the scream out of Lars Sullivan's entrance? Like, what is it with Nikki Cross and Lars Sullivan? Why do they have screams, and how do we get it out of there?
He's supposed to be NXT's Braun, so they're going all out.
A scream is not necessary for that. His entrance scares the crap out of me every time I hear it.
Just imagine Vince McMahon now saw Lars Sullivan and went, Monday. Because you know he did if he saw this. I don't think he saw this, but...
No, he saw somebody else tonight and went, Monday.
And that dude was money. Okay, so Lars Sullivan and Cassius Ohno. I don't know what I saw, but they beat the crap out of each other.
It was interesting. They tried. A for effort.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the best way to describe it. They went out there, and they attempted to beat the crap out of each other with forearms, fists, and kicks. Am I missing anything?
Not especially. You know, it's got the offense of a slow MMA match, really. But you get two big sluggers in the ring. That's pretty much what you're going to get.
Yeah. I think they probably were working it out, and they realized they couldn't do, like, their traditional mix of fighting and wrestling, so they just kind of went to beat the crap out of each other.
And production people, we do not need so many shots of their jiggly legs. Can we not zoom in on it?
Maybe somebody likes the jiggle factor.
They might. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's your thing.
This show was a night of kinks. We're just going to, like, preface this that
can
right
we just,
now.
Can we just say wrestling is kinks? Can we just describe that for wrestling as kinks?
No, because wrestling isn't always kinky. But it seems like whoever writes for WWE, and it may just be Hunter, is getting their inner freak on through the WWE product. Like, the way that it's being written, it's just like, there's some really questionable things getting thrown on TV that you're like, And tonight was no exception.
Tonight was no exception. But yeah, no surprise, Lars Sullivan got the win.
Yeah, he's going to be the monster for a while. They're not going to let him lose that easily.
The biggest problem with him going forward is health. You watch him with the knee brace, you wonder, is that just precaution, or is that going to be an injury, say, not a year from now, maybe 2-3 years from now, that catches up with him? Just thinking long-term monster, you don't want to push him, and then bam, goes the knee. Maybe it's just precaution. I don't know.
Could be precaution, could be an old injury. I would say the nice thing about the monster characters is they don't necessarily have to wrestle a lot. They can just kind of go out there and beat people up, so I think that will take some wear and tear off of him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. True, but it will limit the more Herculean spots that they would typically have the big man doing.
Yeah, but if he doesn't do them too often, he might be able to get away with it. Like, have that be really special. But it could also just be precautionary, like they're just trying to make sure that he doesn't injure that.
Yeah, most likely, but it's just something you notice, because there's not much to break down in this match. It's like nitpicking something, and that's just a thought in my head. All right.
I think it was okay for first showing for Lars. It was like,
First takeover, first showing. It wasn't a 5-star. It wasn't a 4-star. It was there. It was what it was supposed to be. It was hard-hitting opener. I guess that's a good way to describe it.
I think that's the only way you can really describe it. Like, it wasn't overly fast-paced. It set a tone for the night, but I think it, like, the match at the end sort of, like, upped the tone, which was good, and a couple others upped the tone. But yeah, this was just like, this, I mean, it was there. It was okay. They did fine. They looked fine.
Yeah.
It just, it was like, it was fine. This is fine. Like, that's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. It's not the best type of match to lead off a big event with, because you want something that really fires up the crowd and gets them into the show nice and early, so they've got a lot of, you know, a lot of momentum to their noise. This isn't the kind of match that's going to generate that.
To be fair, they saw two matches prior to this. I heard one was spectacular.
Okay, this is true.
Is it the Pete Dunne match? Is it the Pete Dunne match?
That is the Pete Dunne match that we'll see Wednesday on NXT TV. Yeah.
Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano better be spectacular.
Look who's involved. Of course it is.
I heard it was good. Really good. So
it should be.
But what was really good is the next match, which was what, Lindsay?
Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream?
Yeah.
Oh, but before this, can we just talk about the Brits, how we got the Brits?
The Brits were in the crowd, ladies and gentlemen.
I got Trent Seven, y'all. I got Trent Seven. He was an unexpected surprise. And then I get Aleister Black on top of it.
Him and his candles.
Him and his candles. Him and his Home Goods candles, man. So they had to travel with those. The best part is that you can tell they're the, like, battery-operated light switch candles.
Well, of course.
Because they're not going to light real candles as a fire hazard. They only do that crap for Taker. But
well, you're also not going to have a whole bunch. You don't want to have to run out to Bed Bath & Beyond every time this guy makes an entrance.
You don't go to Bed Bath & Beyond. You go to, like, a dollar store.
You got to do it the Jew way. You go cheap.
You go cheap. You're going to burn them and throw them. So, you know, go to the dollar store.
I mean, they're cutting budgets everywhere. So, you know, might as well cut it out and go to the dollar store for candles.
But the battery operated.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought nobody got pyro anymore.
Aleister Black found a way. He found a way. It's subtle, but he found a way.
Loopholes. Loopholes.
Can we talk about Velveteen Dream? Can we talk about him, please?
You mean Shawn Michaels, Rick Rude, and Undertaker wrapped into one?
Yes! Yes, exactly.
So, he has the Undertaker purple lighting, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
He had Shawn Michaels' chaps, and he had the Rick Rude, put your opponent's face on the tights... tights.
The PG version.
The PG version. Yes.
Okay, I have to applaud the tights. The tights were a really nice, unexpected surprise, and it just kind of added to the story of the match, so well done him. I'm not sure how I feel about the chaps. I was just like, I don't know if I like it or not. I'm leaning towards I kind of like it, but I'm just not sure. But it obviously covered up the tights a lot.
He also did the Shawn Michaels spin in the ring, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like Shawn Michaels kind of gene spliced with Chris Tucker's character from The Fifth Element.
Something like that, yeah.
It's just amazing. Shawn Michaels works backstage and has probably been helping Velveteen Dream with his character and everything. Just so.
Somebody's been helping him.
I mean, there's influence somewhere. Just call it a hunch.
But, yeah, so, this match.
Can we just say Velveteen Dream was over with this crowd in Houston?
Velveteen Dream was over and Aleister Black was over.
Okay, Aleister Black was over, but they were chanting his Velveteen Dream's name the entire match.
Like, because this match was amazing. This was a show stealer, for sure. This was way better than I think anybody ever thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
By leaps and bounds. I mean, there was a lot of really great storytelling in this on its own. The wrestling was fantastic. I love the chemistry between Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream. Like, it's so wrong, it's right, and it's just perfect. They mix really, really well together. And it's just, there was a lot of subtlety in this, there was a lot of selling in this, and there was a lot of story in this.
There was also a lot of showboating in this one.
Yes!
Velveteen Dream took the showboating game to a whole new level. He thrusted his hips, he mocked Aleister Black. Aleister Black then returned the favor and crawled up close to him, which scared the bejesus out of Velveteen Dream.
In a good way.
In a good way. Are we sure it was in a good way?
He seemed mildly intrigued.
Yeah, I guess he was mildly intrigued. But it was entertaining, and that's all you want from a match like that.
I think since everybody really didn't, like, have expectations for this, it was kind of like, whatever they did, you knew it was going to be okay, but this went above and beyond anything that you ever thought. And I think it did a lot for Dream. It did a lot for him.
Yeah, like, I have no investment in Velveteen Dream. It's one of those very bizarre NXT-style, Adam Rose-ish style gimmicks that seems to have a lifespan, doesn't seem to work over the long term.
Mm-hmm.
But he's gaining momentum quick.
He's going to be the guy, if you don't push him, he'll fade away and you'll never see him again. But when you put momentum behind him, he'll be an intriguing character because that's the character, that's the type of character he is. So he always needs to be pushed.
I think it's something that what I like about him is he could very, very easily go over into the kitschy joke comedy very, very quickly, and he straddles that line of that, but he does it on the serious side, so you take him as a legitimate threat because he does lead more towards that serious persona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kitschy, but at the same time, it's like you completely buy him as a threat because of what he can do in the ring. So I think the way that they're doing that, and the way that they're presenting him, especially after tonight, and putting him up against somebody like Aleister Black, who is beyond legit, you know, a major player in NXT right now, and having him look as good as he did really does a lot for him, mm-hmm. and really puts him now on a completely different playing field where he could easily be a threat to anybody on that roster. But I feel like Dream and Black, something else is going to happen there.
Oh yeah, they're not done by a long shot with this. It's a night that elevated him a lot, even in a loss. You're right. He's the type of character where he kind of straddles this line of almost being cartoonish. It takes me back to almost the original iterations of like Doink and Goldust, where it's it's cartoonish, it's very over the top, but just the way he performs in the ring and the way he sells that character puts a sinister edge to it that actually makes it more unsettling than comical. And that's what you have to do in order to keep that believable. And it doesn't help. It helps tremendously that he's backing it up because it's sort of like he is a tough enough alumni, which and not even a winner, so not one I would typically expect much from.
He's also very young.
Yeah, 22.
Yeah, and if he's this good at 22.
Yeah, if he's picking it up this fast.
Well, he was one of the few that was a wrestler before he did Tough Enough. Like, he already had some level of training when he did Tough Enough.
Yeah, he was working the East Coast Indies.
Yeah, but they've taken him, but he was, I think he came up with this on his own. I don't think this is a them thing. I think this is a him thing because he did really wild and crazy characters on the indies and he would do all kinds of different stuff. So I think this is something that he created and he sort of put together and they're just trying to like work with it and figure it out. And I think he's getting a lot of license with it where it's like, okay, we're just going to kind of sort of like let you play with it and see where this goes and see how people respond to it. Because I honestly believe that when he debuted with the gimmick, because I remember seeing it when they were here in Atlanta last year, or this year, that, I get my dates mixed up.
Yeah, it was earlier this year.
Deal with it. That it was just like, this is like just kind of weird, and he was doing it more towards the, a little bit more towards the comedy thing, where it's like, yeah, he was doing this sort of the egotistical, narcissistic guy, and that's where he was going with it, and that's what he's been kind of doing it with it on TV, and then it's like Aleister Black comes along, and Aleister just changed the game for him all the way around. Like, just Aleister's kind of like almost retooled the character and refocused the character and taken it to that sinister place that I feel like it needed to go. Because it's just, I don't think people got it. It was one of those characters that is just like, it's almost too out there for people to understand. Because every time, at least for me, he came out, it's kind of like, I don't know.
I'm still not fully invested in him. I gotta see more before I go, oh my god, that's cool. But for one night, it was entertaining. It still doesn't, you know, strike me as I must see him wrestle. But it was entertaining.
I'm skipping through the match now, and they're at the spot where they both posing on the ground with Aleister cross leg, Velveteen stretched out. So Velveteen, Black wouldn't acknowledge him, so he sat in front of him, across his legs too, smiling at him, and then Black starts stealing his pose right back.
I think people are waiting for him to get up and shake his ass, but
It played so well.
I think Lindsay was hoping he would shake his ass.
No, I knew he wouldn't do that.
But you would have been okay if he did.
I'd been fine with it if he did, but you know, it's like, I know Aleister, he's not going to do that. But yeah, when it's like, the best part of this was when Dream revealed the tights at the very beginning of the match, and Aleister's face when he saw the tights, he was like, oh, you're going to die. I'm going to kick your butt for that.
But in the end, after being victorious, Aleister Black posed, sat right down next to him, and said his name.
See, he gave him a reward. They got all up in each other's business. They did their thing. And, you know, so in the end, Dream gets his reward.
And if this was WWE-style booking on the main roster, they would be some weird tag team.
I think that's kind of where I want this to go. That's really where I want this to go, is that they kind of earn each other's respect, and so they become this, like, really awkward, badass alliance.
Black Velvet.
Black Velvet! Yes!
Should never open my mouth.
Do it! Do it! No, but I think it could be really interesting, because it would give... I think it would help Aleister Black, too. Because the difficult thing with Aleister is, like, yeah, he looks cool, and he's badass, and he's got candles and crap, but he doesn't really speak. So after a while, people are going to kind of get bored with it. So Dream could give him some much-needed flair.
Woo!
And Aleister brings that legitimacy that Dream needs. So it could work. It could totally work.
What's next?
Next, if I can find it, we have the ladies' match, the four-way for the vacant NXT Women's Championship, where we had Ember Moon taking on Nikki Cross, Peyton Royce, and Kairi Sane. This was short.
It was short.
Yep. Under 10 minutes.
Which kind of surprised me.
A little bit surprising. I'll say this. Peyton Royce, over with the crowd.
I like her new gear and her new music.
Her music was the same. It was Kairi Sane who had the new music.
Oh, was it Kairi Sane?
Yeah.
Somebody had new music and I liked it.
Kairi Sane's new music is very catchy.
Yeah. You win the Mae Young Classic. You graduate from the generic theme they saddle you with when you enter.
Mm-hmm. It was short. It was good. Don't get me wrong, but it was short. I was really looking forward to this match. I got enough out of it because even though it was short, it was bing bam boom. It was nonstop 10 minutes of action. That's a positive.
You can tell that they practiced the hell out of
this. Oh, they've been working on this for the last few weeks on the house shows. That is a 100% honest fact, and you can see that they did. With all the practice in the world, you still miss time spots. Mainly, there was the Peyton Royce did her fisherman suplex, and Kairi Sane was a wee bit late on that one. And the referee had to stop his hand at 2.99999, so it did not hit the mat. She was a little late.
Slow motion count to three, like, oh, look, there she is!
It was so hovering over that mat. Like, it's touching. It's totally touching.
He's like, just got it right there. Like, I'm not going to tap it. It's like a centimeter off the mat, so that's not a three.
Props to Nikki Cross for taking the powerbomb on the outside.
Oh my god, yeah.
I love that scurry little Scott. I love her so much.
Jeez. I love the women we have in NXT right now who are willing to just let people throw them around or throw themselves around.
I was kind of waiting for her to come flying off the top of the cage in War Games, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. The Tower of Doom spot was nice with the German and everything. That was good by Peyton Royce. She was a really good bump machine in this match. She always seemed to be in the right spot to take every bump that needs to be taken. She took a spear here. She took the elbow, the insane elbow. She took the double springboard eclipse stunner, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Though it felt very flat because it was short. You figured someone was going to break it up, but no one did. I enjoyed the match. I want to see more of it. I was disappointed in Ember Moon winning, but it was the hometown win. It was, she's the heir apparent. Asuka came in and gave her the belt.
Which was a nice touch.
It was a nice touch, but I don't know, it left me disappointed a little bit. And I hate saying that because I enjoyed it. It just, I don't know. Something about Ember Moon winning just didn't excite me.
She's just been chasing it for so long. There's something anticlimactic about her winning it now just because, well, there's no Asuka to stand in her way.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, she's the heir apparent. Like, she was easily the most heavily pushed woman on the roster besides Asuka. But the whole story behind her was she couldn't actually win the belt. And this kind of just cements it. It's just because Asuka was too tough.
Whoa, but see, would have been given a cool edge to Ember, and they didn't do it. But yeah. After Asuka gave her the bell, take out Asuka.
I was so just waiting for that.
That would have given her so much of an edge.
She's in a dress and heels. They're not going
to
do that.
I understand this. She could have worn a pantsuit to make the spot work. We know she has one.
I mean, I think why it feels anticlimactic is like what you said. Ember didn't beat Asuka. We got so built up to Ember and Asuka that it's like, she's got to win, right? She's got to beat Asuka. That's how they're going to put the belt on her. And then it never happens. So it's like, she comes into this match and it's just, you know, it's like, it's good, but it's just okay. And it's for a vacant title. It's not, you're not actually beating the champion. It's like, she's becoming the champion and Asuka, like, pseudo hands her the belt as a way to be like, yeah, you know, now you're champion. You got it after me. You never beat me for it. I just sort of left it here when I went to the main roster. Because they made me.
Yeah, here are my leftovers you weren't good enough to take.
You know, it's just like, that's why it feels really anticlimactic, is it's just like, she was just handed it. You know, even though she fought a match for it, she'd never beat the champion for it, because there was no champion. Now, it'll probably get better for her, because you'll have people come, you know, challenge her for the title, so that will allow her to defend it, and obviously get those victories that she needs. But also, I think it feels anticlimactic because they haven't been doing a whole lot with Ember. It's like, after she got hurt, they really kind of didn't know what to do with her.
I don't know who she is.
It's like, she was on a roll and then...
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why this is anticlimactic, because the only thing you really identify her with is chasing the title.
So, I mean, you know, a lot of these problems and questions will be solved when Ember goes on to defend the title and be on TV more, and we get to see more of her, and we get more of her character, so that's good. And, you know, eventually some of the other women will get a hold of the title, that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't know, it's like, it was good, it was fine. You know, that's what you can kind of say about this one as well. It was fine.
Yeah. I mean, with the caliber of talent that was involved here, you really wanted it to have more time.
Yeah, you wanted 20 minutes, you got 10.
Yeah. So they felt a little rushed, too.
What's next?
Up next, we have the final match of the evening, the one where the internet just went hog wild for. That's right, folks. It's War Games. We have Undisputed Era.
No. You're missing something. No?
What am I missing?
Points.
What am I missing? Oh.
You're missing
points. Oh, yes, yes, points. The points match.
The points
match. I was right match. So, your NXT championship was on the line as Drew, I stole my kilt from Sheamus McIntyre, took on Andrade, he looks like my mom's couch, Almas.
With Zelina Vega, who is 5 foot nothing.
She is tiny! Oh my god, she's tiny! Like, Drew's down on one knee in front of her, and she's barely taller than him, and then he just, like, insults her by getting up. Like, he just stood up, and she barely came up to his chest. It's like, oh my god, she's tiny! Get her out of the ring!
She played a fantastic role in this matchup. Her facial expressions throughout the entire match were perfect. Her interferences were perfect. She was perfect in her role. The match started out just okay. The finish was better than I expected. It was, I don't really know how to call it. It's like, it was good, it wasn't great. Somewhere in between, I guess.
Yeah, this is getting familiar.
It's sort of the way the show was.
I feel like Andrade and Drew are still both trying to find themselves. Andrade more than Drew. And Drew has been there for such a short time that it just feels, we don't know him yet. And so you have two people who, one that we really don't know, and one that's still trying to figure out who his character is and who he is. And so it's like, you really want to invest in it and, you know, really like it. Oh, there's Trent Seven in his suit. Hi, Trent. He
focus.
Looks so
focus.
Handsome.
Focus. Focus.
But.
Focus.
But.
Focus.
He fixed his hair.
Focus.
Over here.
Focus on the thing.
But, okay, he's gone. All right, anyway, so you have two people that you really kind of aren't invested in, but you want to be invested in. I mean, at this point, we know more about Zelina Vega than we do either one of them. So I think that added to just the difficulty of, like, really getting into this match. Like, it was good. It was a good match. It was an entertaining match.
Yeah.
That we can say. They really put on a show. But in terms of adding it up against every other title match that they've had on TakeOver's past, it's just okay.
It was never put in a position to be that five-star TakeOver classic, but it delivered a shocking moment.
Yes, it did. All y'all laughed at me. All y'all said I was gonna be wrong!
And what happened?
Guess who won the title?
Zelina Vega!
No. Not quite. your new NXT champion, Andrade. He looks like my mom's couch. Cien Almas. Because his gear looked like my mom's old couch. I'm not even going to lie. Like, it did. It was just like, what is that?
What is that thing?
It's like, he has way better... and that's the thing. He has way better gear than that. I don't know why he wore what he wore. Drew, I applaud the kilt choice. Where the hell was it last pay-per-view when you came out with the men in the kilts?
They took all the kilt.
I mean, it was a nice utility kilt. It was a little sassy. It was above the knee. He had some, like, dog chains going on. It was just a nice kilt. And I think he threw it into the crowd.
Cien's tights look like they're made entirely out of French ticklers.
Maybe. Maybe that's how he won.
Maybe.
Secret to the Madness. By the way, this is The Rack live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, bringing you this Rack Extra NXT TakeOver War Games Edition. Presented, as always, by Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Speaking of War Games, it's time to talk about it. Holy crap.
I'm going to let y'all go because you're the War Games aficionados.
A.K.A. we've been around long enough to have seen one.
We watched WCW.
Pretty much.
Or WCW. It was Undisputed Era. It was Saturday. It was Authors of Pain. You had two rings. One giant big-ass cage with no roof. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Ruined.
Ruined. Not War Games. Steel cage match with weapons. Oh, my God. It's a thing. It's not War Games. No. No. Shark cages. What's this? This ain't War Games. Rules? There are no rules in War Games. Oh, my God. This is not War Games. It's just a weapons match. Oh, my God.
So many cages. Just ignore many all the cages.
Yeah, just ignore the fact that we have two rings set up, which is literally only a War Games thing.
I will say this for the setup. I like how they did it. I just told Rock I kind of wish, because it just kind of bothered me and felt like it hindered the flow a little bit, that they were able to take out the middle ropes and just have like one big long rope going the length of it and then take out the ones going the width in the center, so that way they could just go back and forth.
It would be a production nightmare, but she has a point.
No, yeah. No, not only a production nightmare, but doing that, like, after the championship match?
Yeah. If you did a show with a 20-minute intermission, you could get it done, but they don't do that. Also, oh my God, where was the top of the cage? Oh my God, there's supposed to be a thing. After everyone gets in, the cage is supposed to come down. Lethal lockdown, oh my God!
That's the complaint I wanted. Like, God, this is just lethal lockdown without a roof.
Oh my God, lethal lockdown. Do we have to put the belt up there first and then bring it? Oh, that's, wait, wrong match. That's King of the Mountain. You have to put the thing up.
And well, see, this is why the shark cages are out there.
Right.
Throw people out of the ring. They have to go to the shark cage for 5 minutes.
Because they were naughty?
The naughty box, yes. Anyway, all jokes aside, it was everything what War Games is. It's very slow. You stall a lot. People get numbers advantage, and then all hell breaks loose. Killian Dane, MVP.
Oh my God, Killian Dane was amazing in this. Can we just talk about Killian Dane?
Talk about Killian Dane.
This is, I think, the first time we've really gotten a good look at Killian Dane.
Except for his match against Drew McIntyre.
Except for his match against Drew McIntyre, but this is, like, one of the very few times that they've turned him loose. They don't let him wrestle on TV a lot, so this was a very, very nice look at him. And, yeah, dude's money. Dude is, like, 100% money. He was throwing people around. He was doing dives. He was doing drop kicks. He did a coast-to-coast.
Killian Dane.
Yeah.
Went coast-to-coast.
He's like a 300-plus pound man doing a coast-to-coast.
That was the Van Terminator, so it was the Dananator?
Yeah, it was a Dananator.
It's not... really didn't use a chair and didn't springboard, so not technically.
Okay, Mr. Rob Van Dam fan guy, boy.
Yeah, you have the mark on here. You better get this right. No, that's coast-to-coast, because it's the easy version.
You go up there and call it an easy version. And add 200 pounds to that, and then you do it.
No.
Okay, then, don't call
it... I will die.
Don't call it an easy version. But props
sorry,
to him.
I'm sorry. It's a flying drop kick is easier than dragging a chair along with you and getting it in front of your feet and then drop kicking. It just is. I'm not taking anything away from the fact that a 300 pounder did it.
And then he was also one who brought all the weapons in. He had those looks. Ooh, toys. And then we're low budget. He had to be the one to lock the cage and then swallow the key,
which is so gross.
The old cartoon spot. I love when they went to, I love when Undisputed Era went to leave the cage after the match and they go, no, 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 the big guy swallowed the key. Just wait till we raise it up.
Yeah. But Alexander Wolf.
Oh my God.
He left his self.
He left about 10% of his body weight in that ring.
Yep.
I just hope he's okay. Like, I really genuinely hope he's okay for, if you didn't see it. So, Wolf did a super German suplex off the top rope where he took one of the Authors of Pain through two tables. And the way that he landed, he cut his head open really, really badly on the table spot. And he was laying there bleeding. They were trying to glue it shut.
It just wouldn't glue.
It just wouldn't glue. Like, he was out of the match for a good 5 minutes as he laid there with them trying to tend to it to get it to close. And then they got it to close, and he went back in the match, and he did, like, one spot, and then it was open again, and he went and rolled and kind of laid on the side of the ring for the rest of the match. And I was talking to Rock, and I was like, is he okay? He's not moving. He's like, he's really, the match is over. He's not moving.
No, no. Like, when you see them brawling between the ropes, they, the cameraman inside, and God bless the balls on this cameraman to stand in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeesh. But every time when they would, he would have to instinctively pan to keep them in the middle of the shot, it panned back over to the other ring, and there's just a lake. There's a lake of blood on one of the tables.
Yeah, there was. So, they set up a double Tower of the Doom spot, but to get that all set up, Eric Young had to go from one ring to the other, and speaking of Alexander Wolf, he was laying in between the rings before he got busted open, and Eric Young just rolls over him to get to the other side of the ring.
they've officially made it now. They're married.
Yeah, yes, Tim. Omega did just bless a cameraman's balls.
Hi, Tim!
Hey, as a video and camera guy, I respect that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know who drew the short straw to be in the cage, but
props.
Bless him.
So,
that's all I can say, because they were, like, literally standing in between the two rings, pressed up against the cage as far as they could go into it, holding the camera, doing their best not to get caught in the middle of this, because crap was flying everywhere. We had tables, we had chairs, we had trash cans.
Chains.
Bodies. Kendo sticks.
Yeah, and he's holding a piece of equipment that's probably more expensive than the cage itself.
And Omega would know.
Yeah. Omega would know.
Oh, Tim says, hi, Lindsay.
So, yeah, God bless him for standing in between the two rings. But this match delivered, I think, everything that everybody wanted. You had the two Towers of Doom.
Yep.
You had the Van Daminator.
Daninator.
Daninator. And then we have the spot off the top of the cage.
Okay. Before that, because it leads into it. So Killian Dane does this coast to coast. And he like he says something to Adam Cole, going, watch this, and then he does it. So Adam Cole's then laying on top of the cage, and this is where you pick it up.
So Cole's lying on top of the cage. I can't tell if he's trying to mark it as his, or he's trying to do other things to it.
He was humping it.
He's trying to scent mark it.
He's trying to scent mark the cage. He was, because the way that he's pulling himself across the top, he's like, he's literally humping the cage as he goes. So as like, is he marking his territory? Is that what he's doing?
That bar is mine, and that bar is mine.
This whole cage is mine. So Cole gets up there, Strong gets up there with him, and the fans start chanting, please don't die.
Please don't die. Please don't die.
And then we get a neck breaker?
No, superplex.
Superplex.
On the superest of superplexes.
Yep. The whole
off the top.
Holy bejesus superplex onto everybody.
Except for Alexander Wolf.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who was napping on the apron. Yep. But yeah, superplexes onto the entire match in front of everybody, and it was just amazing.
Why didn't that spot end? Why didn't that spot end the match? That's such a huge spot.
Because
reasons.
You don't book a spot that huge and not have it be the finale. You can't top it. My favorite part of the spot is after they land and everyone in the pile just has to gently squirm around so nobody's accidentally getting a pinfall on anybody.
Yeah.
Until I think it was Strong tried to pin Cole.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I just shared with a picture. Yeah. That man does not know where he's at. concussion protocol for Alexander Wolf.
Oh my God. Bless his heart. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, that's scary. Anyway, yeah, they were trying not to pin each other. And then they did the finish. Undisputed Era with the win.
Points! Yes, I would like to personally thank my WTR fantasy team for finally doing something after not doing anything for weeks on end. Mom is very proud of you. It's about damn time.
As of last Sunday, she had 36 total points. As of today, for just this week, 35. And there's still another day. So you could do the math how she doubled her score in 1 week.
See, all it took was Bray Wyatt coming back. That's it.
And if it wasn't for Bray Wyatt, you would have had a perfect week.
I thought it was at zero.
No, but he lost. Like, I think he's the only one who lost for you.
But isn't that a perfect week? Like, everybody else wins and, like, one person loses?
Shut up. Something like that. Whatever the rule was.
Your perfect week started after that match, as far as I remember.
Yeah, so my perfect week started after that match.
There you go. So, on a scale of 1 to 5, where would you rate this takeover? Oh my God.
God, it's a hard one to scale because we did actually get a lot of just kind of okay matches. I mean, they're good, but nothing that blew me away. But then we had Velveteen and Alistair that was way better than anyone expected. And then almost an hour in War Games, which was utter carnage. I don't know, where do you want my scale? Is it, we go numbers, letters?
1 to 5.
1 to 5?
Wait, unless you want to do letters, we can do letters. I can do Morse code. You want to do Morse code? Tap it, tap, tap it, tap. No.
Boop, boop, bleep. Boop, boop, bleep, bleep, boop.
Yeah.
No, I'm somewhere, if I'm going 1 to 10, it's somewhere out of like a 7 out of 10.
Okay. Because
he had a middle row stuff, but the stuff that was good was really good. I don't know. Like, there's still enough disappointment to keep the score lower.
Lindsay, where would you rate it?
I would say about a 7, 7.5. I'm kind of with Omega on that. I feel like in some of the other lower card matches that they sort of held back a little bit because of the main event. Because it's like, that's got to live up to what...
20 years of hype.
Yeah, like, you know, all the fanboys' expectations. So, you know, it's like, that's got to be good no matter what. So it's like, nobody really outshine that match. Although Dream and Alistair really tried.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of shows, I enjoyed it. But I always enjoy TakeOver. I like that they have fewer matches. I like that it's a shorter show. I mean, I just feel like overall NXT does pay-per-view a little bit better than the main roster. But yeah, I mean, it's like this was okay. The War Games match delivered, which you would hope it would. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't their best. But it's like their best has that nostalgia factor. So you're fighting that.
Yeah, I'll go 7 as well, 7, 7.5. And yeah, wasn't the worst, wasn't the best. It was better than some of the early shows in Florida, but it wasn't the worst show we've seen. It just, everything was fun and entertaining, and I enjoyed myself for 2.5 hours. It's all that matters. So
that does just, it.
Go ahead, Omega.
Sorry.
Well, just as a little bit, Triple H did confirm after TakeOver, we had an injury to Drew.
Oh yeah, what happened?
Torn bicep toward the end of the match. So there would be how Lindsay got the unpredictable match, right?
I wonder if it was a on-the-spot change.
Might have been.
So before we wrap this thing up, hold on. Find the thing. Pull this over here. All right, Omega, say that injury one more time.
Drew McIntyre injured toward the end of his match with a torn bicep.
Hashtag blame Brent.
There we go.
There we go. How to get in there, official. All right, now we can wrap this show up.
All right, so that does it for us. Omega, do you have things you'd like to plug?
Well, my usual stuff, where I can be found all over the interwebs at TJ Reviews on Facebook, TJ Omega on Twitter, TJ Omega on YouTube, and even TJ Omega on Tumblr. I'm all over the place.
Except Facebook.
He's reviews. On Facebook. Because some dude has TJ Omega.
Yeah.
At one point, we just need to, like, go have a conversation with that man and just be like, look.
I don't think he'll do anything. It's up to Facebook.
I know.
If I get a trademark, maybe I can sue him.
Hey, there you go.
There you go. Go ahead. What?
Rock, things, plugs, stuffs.
So in about an hour from this live broadcast, we'll be live with CB Radio. Great and the Great Debate. How far will Omega go in the greatest comedians of all the times? Find out. CB Radio. CB Radio Live in 1 hour. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Yes.
Probably not far.
Spoiler. He'll be back tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern, talking about Survivor Series, the 4-5-7 hour spectacular that it is, with Tim and Heartbreak Mike. WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11-10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night's twitch.tv/rackradioshow. It's the Ultimate Survivor, WTR Sims Edition. We have two Survivor Series matchups that's going to take place, so tune in 11-15 p.m. Eastern for all of that. Check out the Rack at the Rack. Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble special will be available on Thursday. We will talk Survivor Series and SmackDown and whatever else we think of. And we'll have the finale of Dancing with the Brother Bella. The Rack. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com. YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Instagram, Tumblr, anywhere Rack Radio Show. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lins Ward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the very awesome sponsors, Gerwig.net, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, and Fightboot.com. So for Omega and Rock, this has been the Rack Extra! NXT TakeOver War Games Edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week for Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.